welcome to X-Men Unraveled, the podcast that follows the stories of the X-Men in chronological order. I'm your host, Noelle, and today I'm covering the next two issues of Uncanny X-Men, numbers 17 and 18. I don't know how many of you have tried reading through the first run of Uncanny X-Men all the way through, but it can be a bit of a slog from the point we've reached. Up until now, we've been getting to know the original X-Men and have been introduced to characters that will remain important in the long run. The Brotherhood, Juggernaut, and of course the Sentinels last time. But as you move through the issues up to around number 50, where a couple important characters are introduced, and then again through issue 66, I'd say the high points are few and far between. They're classics, it's the Silver Age of the X-Men, but the stories are usually pretty surface level and often pretty silly. Even the end of the Sentinel Saga fell into that routine when they're finally defeated with a giant crystal. So I don't want to say, of course, that they're not important issues. I'm going to cover all of them, but I am going to make some adjustments to get through this spate of issues. I've said before that I'll break this section to catch up with Wolverine, who we haven't seen in a while, and that will be coming up sometime in the new year, but I'm also going to cover more than one storyline per episode whenever I can. So when there isn't a two-part story like today, I'll cover more than one issue in the episode. First, it's going to move us closer to key issues and the big change that comes with giant-sized X-Men, which honestly, I'm just really impatient to start. But second, when I don't have a lot of backstory or character history to dive into, we can stay moving through the issues at a faster pace. So that is my plan from here, but today I'm picking up right where we left off last time as Bolivar Trask's dreams and creations literally tumbled down around him. So let's get started. Uncanny X-Men number 17 actually has one of my favorite covers. It's all in red and black with some white accents, and the X-Men are all lying on the floor injured while someone stands menacingly over them. But all we can see of their foe is a hand opening the door, and the tagline reads, "And none shall survive." Overall, it's very stark and stylized and quite different compared to the other covers up to this point. The issue opens up immediately following the aftermath of the Sentinel base's destruction. National Guardsmen have arrived to secure the scene, and medics are evaluating the X-Men's injuries. While this is happening, Xavier and the X-Men have to put on a show that they don't know each other, because Xavier's involvement with the superheroes is a secret. Beast and Iceman are pretty hurt, so they're taken by ambulance to the hospital, and Cyclops goes along even though he's just bruised up. Pretending not to know them, Xavier asks if Marvel Girl and Angel would be willing to drive him to the school, and of course, they agree. As they leave, we get one last panel of the destruction inflicted by Trask's final strike at the Sentinels. The base is a giant pile of rubble, torn open by the explosion that Trask set off, and soldiers are making their way toward it to investigate. In the next scene, Iceman is lying unconscious in a hospital bed while Xavier looks on and a doctor examines him. Iceman is delirious and starts talking in his sleep about the Sentinels and making the team proud, but he doesn't wake up. Xavier then goes to check in on Beast, telepathically instructing him to keep up the charade that they are strangers, and the doctor informs Xavier that Beast has some fractures, but they're healing quickly on their own. For those of you wondering about Beast's privacy, HIPAA didn't exist until 1996, so I imagine it was the Wild West back in the 60s. But the doctor is disappointed that Beast won't remove his mask and reveal his identity so that he can learn more about Beast's physiology. He also comments that he wishes he could know who Beast's parents are to learn more about mutations. Hearing this, Xavier starts thinking about how vulnerable the mutant's parents make the team. If anyone were to learn who they are, it could reveal the X-Men's identities and could place their parents in danger. It's a bit of heavy-handed foreshadowing. Angel is outside Beast's room, tormenting the nurses on the floor. He steals their phone and flies around in the air so he can check the messages back at the school without anyone seeing the number he dials. Again, this is the 60s, it looks like a rotary phone, so there's no redial option to give away the call either. But there's only one message, and it's from Warren's parents, letting him know that they are on their way to make a visit, and they're worried because he hasn't been in touch. Angel discusses the situation telepathically with Xavier, who steps in to try and stop the visit. Xavier calls the Worthingtons back and explains that he missed their call because the students are with him on a field trip for a research paper. The Worthingtons say that's no problem, but they're planning a short road trip and want to stop by when they're in the area. Xavier, making up another lie, tries to dissuade them again by saying it's actually exam time too. But the unsuspecting Worthingtons just say that they don't mind, they'll just stay for a few minutes. Xavier telepathically informs Angel that his parents are still coming to visit, but he has an uneasy feeling about it, and there's some sense of danger at the school that he can't shake. So Xavier asks Angel to do some recon, flying to the school to make sure everything is okay. This whole conversation happens telepathically, which had to look a little bit strange, the two of them just hovering silently next to each other while they're secretly having this conversation. So Angel flies off to the school and inspects the grounds. However, he doesn't see anything out of the ordinary. The reader, on the other hand, gets to see a hidden figure peek out of the front door. All we can see are a pair of eyes and a purple glove. Up to the very end of this issue, where there's a big reveal, the identity of this intruder is hidden. There's a few clues along the way, so see if you can figure out who it is before the end. After scouting outside and not seeing any danger, Angel heads to the front door, which is left open, and now Angel's starting to suspect that something is wrong because this door always locks automatically. And up the hall, there's a suit of armor with an axe that I guess Xavier has collected. And when Angel starts to walk down the hall, the axe rises up and flies directly at him. Angel is able to dodge it, and then he flies quickly down the hall to find out who attacked him. But our mysterious intruder has placed a large mirror all the way across the hallway, and Angel slams directly into it, knocking himself out. For some reason, this one wasn't as funny to me as Beast knocking himself out last time. The unseen attacker gloats and says he's captured the first of the X-Men. Meanwhile, back at the hospital, an eye doctor is trying his best to convince Scott to let him examine his eyes. Scott is just trying over and over to explain the danger, but when the doctor won't listen, he raises his visor just enough to demonstrate his powers. At that point, Xavier interrupts and asks to speak with Scott. And the doctor seems pretty okay now to let him go, finally realizing that Scott was serious about how dangerous it is for him to remove his visor. So Scott and Xavier take a stroll outside, with Scott pushing Xavier's wheelchair, and Xavier reveals that he's lost contact with Angel after sending him to the school. He says that the two of them need to return to the school and investigate. So they drive back, and Xavier discovers that a mental barrier has been placed around the school. They go inside and Cerebro starts giving off an alarm. When Xavier goes to shut it off, he is trapped in a metal device that was just kind of nearby, and it attaches itself to his head and has cables that encircle the rest of his body. This device stops him from being able to use his powers. Scott tries to help, but a barrier appears between them. Scott tries to use his power to break through, but they just ricochet off the barrier. Then the lights go out, and our purple-gloved intruder starts sucker-punching Scott, knocking him out. The person also states that they're avoiding using their power to keep the X-Men from learning what it is. Back at the hospital, Beast has recovered from his injuries and is in the middle of jumping around his hospital room. Jean comes in and tries to talk with him, but he keeps leaping around and calls her a wench. Jean starts to get sick of him, so she holds him in the air with her telekinesis, and then he says, "Prattle away." Jean tells him that she's worried because Scott and Xavier are gone and she hasn't heard anything from them. And Beast decides that his misogyny has been too toned down so far and says, just like a woman. If someone isn't fracturing your eardrums every conceivable minute, you begin to fear that something is amiss. And rather than refracturing Beast's legs with her telekinesis, Jean just says that he needs to be serious. So he agrees that it is strange that they would be left without any message from Xavier and that they should go to the school to investigate. They stop to check in on Iceman first, who's still unconscious, and his doctor says that they can really only wait and hope for the best. But he does suggest getting in touch with Iceman's parents in case he doesn't improve. Not really what you want to hear from a doctor. Iceman has also remained in his Iceman form so that nobody can learn his identity. So the doctor doesn't really know how to handle this situation. Marvel Girl and Beast make their way to the mansion, and I'm sure you can guess what happens next. They are quickly captured as well. Their captor takes them outside and tosses them in a large hollow steel sphere that's attached to a hot air balloon, and then he sends it off up into the air. And we get one shadowed silhouette of the captor, who is in all red with purple boots. And this might be the most ridiculous way to try to dispose of your enemies. The last scene in the issue is the Worthingtons arriving at the school and the mysterious figure answering the door. When they ask who he is, the figure introduces himself by saying, "I am power. Men call me Magneto." And the last page is a picture of an absolutely deranged looking Magneto looming over the Worthingtons. And once again, we end on a cliffhanger, the X-Men captured by their enemy. With everyone but the comatose Iceman captured, the cover of issue 18 has the tagline, "If Iceman should fail," and shows Magneto zapping a falling Iceman. So things are not looking great for the team. Last time we saw Magneto, which was in issue 11, he had been captured and taken into space by the Stranger, along with Toad. The issue leaves the mystery of how he returns for a while, but I'm just going to go ahead and jump right to it. The Stranger imprisoned Magneto and Toad on a deserted world that also seems to serve as a museum for various items that the Stranger has collected. The two villains were trapped for months, with Magneto being just absolutely cruel to Toad. We see one interaction where Toad reminds Magneto that he's not alone because Toad is with him. And Magneto shouts back, "Silence, Toad, you sniveling, spineless, fawning fool." So they did not have a great time together on this planet. The Stranger didn't expect the two of them to be able to escape, so they're allowed to explore the planet freely, which leads them to discover an abandoned array of spaceships. Magneto is able to use his powers to get one of the ships functioning, so they have a way off the planet. But he does not invite Toad along for the ride. After Magneto climbs aboard, Toad tries to follow him up the ladder, and Magneto literally kicks him off, stranding Toad on the planet while Magneto flies away. It is so cruel, and Toad is now completely alone on this planet. Truly not something I can justify, even though you know I love Magneto. But we do have to remember, Magneto is not the kindest person, and I think being trapped with Toad as your only company for months would send just about anyone over the edge. But it is very sad for Toad, and a very cruel thing to have done. So, at the beginning of issue 18, Magneto has made his way back to Earth and back on his bullshit going after the X-Men. We see an image of the team, minus Iceman, all passed out and piled in the steel sphere. The issue refers to it as a gondola, as it's climbing higher and higher into the sky. And this whole thing of sending the X-Men into the sky is so absurd. I remember the first time I read this issue when I started at the beginning of Uncanny X-Men, and I was like, why is this happening? But, you know, Magneto lives for the drama. I guess he thought this was, like, the best way to do it. It's not, but that's what we've got in this story. Back on the ground, Magneto decides that he's going to destroy Xavier's school as well. And in a pretty impressive display of his powers, he lifts the mansion entirely off the ground, planning to smash it back down into the earth. But then, at the last second, he decides he's not going to do that, He sets it back down on its foundations so he can make it his own new base, just to add insult to injury by taking over the X-Men's headquarters. And I know Magneto is powerful, but the issue does not get into how he once again makes the mansion structurally sound and like reconnects the plumbing and electricity. When he lifted it, it was at least a couple of stories in the air. So you cannot tell me there's not any damage and you can just put it back and it's fine. So I like to imagine that there's a significant amount of time that he has to spend repairing all the damage he just caused. And we do see him go inside and clean up all the messes he made capturing the X-Men. But the other thing he does when he's there is destroy Cerebro and smashes it into pieces. While he's busy doing all of that, the doorbell rings and we get another panel of Magneto just looking absolutely deranged. His eyes are all big and practically popping out of his head. It seems like the months alone with Toad were not great for his mental health. It did not start at the best place before he was taken anyway. But Magneto goes to answer the door and finds the Worthingtons standing outside. And that's when Magneto opens the door in full costume and makes his introduction. I am power, men call me Magneto. The Worthingtons' reaction is not as dramatic as I would expect from two average people showing up to their son's school and meeting Magneto at the door. I'm also fairly sure that Magneto has been in the newspaper, but they don't seem to recognize him or his name. They do demand to see their son, but Magneto then uses his magnetic attraction abilities to hypnotize them. He tells them that they're very tired and sends them to the guest room to sleep. Once again, these strange telepathic abilities keep showing up. There's no reason for Magneto to have them. He's also responsible for the mental barrier that Xavier felt around the school. But as usual, we're just going to run with it. With Magneto now in full control of the school and the Worthingtons dealt with, the scene turns back to Iceman. He's still unconscious in the hospital, but his doctor has a new idea. He tells his nurse that he needs to give Iceman a dose of a sulfa drug, but he has to find a way to inject it through his ice form. Luckily, the hospital has been working on a hypodermic laser needle, and just extremely fortunate that Iceman went to the hospital that would have such a device. The doctor and nurse get it working, and they're able to give Iceman the medication. After the injection, they wait to see if Iceman's condition improves. Meanwhile, in the ascending gondola, Xavier has regained consciousness, but he's still trapped in the mental wave distorter that Magneto captured him in. And Xavier goes through several panels trying to use his powers to free himself, and he turns more and more red in each one, until the machine breaks. He wakes the rest of the team up, but they can't figure out a way out of their dilemma. At this point, they're too high above the ground to open the sphere, because they lose oxygen too quickly, so the team is trapped, and also potentially running out of oxygen inside the sphere. At the mansion, Magneto has hatched the next part of his plot. He has built a machine, which he places part of it over the beds of the Worthingtons, kind of like a lamp-looking thing, that will use the cells in their body to create new mutants. Since their son is a mutant, he's using their DNA to create some sort of mutant clones. He wants to create an army of mutant slaves to help in his plan to conquer the world. He says he's also able to use the machine to determine the type of mutations that his mutants will have, so he can give them an array of powers. Supposedly, Magneto wants mutants to conquer humanity, but I think this plan gives the lie to his philosophy. He just wants to rule the world himself. He literally refers to his creations as slaves and is creating these mutants whose only purpose is to serve him. Back in the gondola, Xavier telepathically reaches out to see what Magneto is up to. He learns about how Magneto escaped the Stranger and that the Worthingtons are captured. Angel is obviously terrified for his parents. So next, Xavier reaches out to Iceman, who is finally recovering, and calls him to help. The team all express their doubts because they're not sure how Iceman can handle Magneto alone. He's the youngest member of the team. But they decide to put their faith in him. Can't really say they have much of a choice anyway. Jean is also able to halt the ascension of the gondola by using her powers to hold it still, but she isn't able to push it towards the ground, so now they're just kind of hovering. Then Xavier mysteriously announces that he's going to make the most difficult thought projection of his life, but he does not explain any further, because why would he do that? Iceman arrives at the mansion just as Magneto has started creating his mutant clones. And as Magneto watches the first one's form in the machine, it suddenly stops. Iceman has managed to get inside the house and build an ice barrier over the Worthingtons, blocking the machine from collecting their cellular information to create the clones. Magneto spots Iceman and goes on the attack, and they end up outside where Bobby tries to trap Magneto in an ice dome. But Bobby's not fast enough to get away, and Magneto traps him inside the ice as well. But up in the gondola, the rest of the X-Men finally have an escape plan. With Xavier telepathically assisting, Cyclops uses a thin energy beam to make a small hole in the hot air balloon. Then, as they start falling pretty quickly, Jean uses her powers to slow their descent safely. Now on the ground, the team races to help Iceman. Magneto is able to fight all of them off and then holds Iceman with his powers, threatening to kill him if they get any closer. Iceman tells his teammates to do what they need to do to stop Magneto, saying he will make any sacrifice. But Angel isn't having it. When Magneto is distracted, he flies in and carries Iceman to safety. The team is still not able to beat Magneto in a fight, but suddenly Xavier orders them to stop. Magneto approaches Xavier, but Xavier tells him that he's already been defeated. Then, out of the sky, comes the Stranger. Xavier had reached out to him telepathically about Magneto's escape. Magneto does not want to deal with the Stranger, jumps in his Magna Car, and flees, hoping to avoid being recaptured. And with Magneto fleeing from the Stranger, the team rushes to check on the Worthingtons, and Iceman stops the mutant-creating machine. Angel's parents are also none the wiser about the nature of their son's school or his powers, and all is well. I have to think it's possible that Xavier erased their memory of Magneto answering the door, because I don't know how else they would explain that away. But they continue their visit, and all appears like Warren is attending a normal boarding school. So Magneto's return is short-lived, and Iceman proved that he might be the youngest X-Man, but he's just as capable as the rest of them. I have a feeling the reunion between Magneto and Toad is going to be pretty uncomfortable. Hard to come back from kicking somebody off a spaceship and abandoning them on a deserted planet. It's silly, but I do love that Magneto is the target of this powerful space being. Like, he runs away so fast. But that is the story for today. Next time, I'll continue with two more issues of Uncanny X-Men. The first will introduce a new villain, the Mimic, and the second will see the return of another villain that we've met before. Not Magneto. He's gone for a little bit. Until next time, I'll post pictures of these two issues on the Instagram at X-Men Unraveled. So if you want to see what Magneto's gondola contraption looks like, go check that out. I also started a Threads account under the same handle, but I'm still getting used to that one. It's not quite a replacement for Twitter, but I guess it's better than nothing. This will be my last episode for the year, so happy holidays to everyone. I hope you're able to enjoy the season, and I'll talk to you next year.